Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. You will notice a triangle and an indication that it is number 4. This is a series marking that we started at the end of our previous shiur, where students of various rabbis present the same question to each of them. Each one of these rabbis enjoyed longevity, and each rabbi was presented by the students with the question, in what merit did they achieve this longevity? So we continue. Shalu Talmidov es Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona b'meh harachta yomim. And Rabbi Nechunya was asked, how is it that you lived so long? Omar lahem. He too has a list of practices. Number 1, miyomai lo niskabadati bekalon chaverai. I never achieved honor through the embarrassment of my fellow friend. This is a phenomenon that one experiences from time to time in life, where with the downfall of someone else, so I feel heightened. The Gemara will deal with this shortly. We'll see an example of this in the upcoming bracketed section of Gemara. But in the meantime, another point. Velo also al mitosi kilolas chaveri. Also mitosi is an expression of one who goes to sleep. In other words, so I never went to sleep with a harsh feeling toward anyone that may have wronged me. Uvatron bimamoni hoyisi, and I was someone that was compromising in a positive sense, compromising with regard to money that may have been owed to me. I was forgiving. As you can see, we have a bracketed section, and like we mentioned in our previous note, there's a starred note above that we discussed in our previous shiur. The brackets here are not for skipping purposes, but rather the Gemara goes over the points that Rabbi Nechunya made in a more elaborate explanatory fashion. So we go over the points now in the brackets. Number 1, lo niskabadati bakalon chaveri. I never felt honor through the disparagement of my friend. To Kiha de Rav Huna, and a story involving Rav Huna, Dori Mora Akaspe. He was carrying a mora, it's a type of implement, let's say a shovel, on his shoulder. Also Rav Chona Bar Chaniloi, because Shokil Mine, Rav Chona came along and attempted to take the shovel from Rav Huna for Rav Huna to carry it for Rav Huna. Amar Le, Rav Huna responded, I regilis de doris bemosech dori. If you are accustomed to carrying shovels on your shoulder in bemosech in your town, in other words, for you to do this is common for you, then go ahead and I'll grant you the opportunity to carry it for me. The Eloi, however, if you would never be seen carrying shovels on your shoulder in your town, is yakuri ano bezilusa didoch lo nichali. Is yakuri ano means honor for me. In other words, that I'm being relieved of carrying around the shovel through your disparagement. Zilusa, like the word zilzel, through your word zol means cheapening. Through your cheapening yourself by doing something that's beneath your dignity, that I don't want. I don't want to benefit. I don't want to have my honor preserved through someone else experiencing indignity. Number 2, velo olsa al mitosi kilas chaveri. Ki ha demar zutra. as was the practice of Mar Zutro, ki havasolik lepuria, when he would go up onto his bed before going to sleep, Omar, he would recite the following: Shoru le more, that the Almighty should forgive lechoman detzaron, that anyone that had created tsar for me, anyone that upset me, so I hereby announce that I forgive, and that Almighty should forgive anyone that caused me tsar. And Vatra b'mamoni hoyisi, I was forgiving with regard to money matters. Di Omar Mar Iov Vatra b'mamoni havi. We know the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us regarding Iov, he was someone who was forgiving with regard to money. Shemaniach pruto lechenvoni mi mamone. An example of this might very well be that, let us say, let's just say for argument's sake, a loaf of bread costs one pruta, and I would come into the store to buy half a loaf of bread. So the smallest amount of cash that let's say Iov had was one full pruta, but all he was buying was half a loaf of bread. So he actually had half a pruta worth of money coming as change. So he would say, in cases like that, he said, listen, just keep the change. That's Vatron B'mamone, someone who is forgiving, who is compromising with money that's owed to him, especially when it comes to like small amounts of money. He didn't stand on principle to insist on the change. Shol Rabbi Akiva as Rabbi Nechunya HaGodol, Bameh Harachta Yomim. Rabbi Akiva asked this gentleman, Rabbi Nechunya, how did you live so long? Osu Gavzi V'komochulei. Gavzi are servants that were servants of Rabbi Nechunya. They came and they started to beat Rabbi Akiva. Distinct impression is that Rabbi Akiva at this point in time was not very well known. Otherwise, it's hard to imagine this story continuing. But they came beating him because by asking this question, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva is upset with Rabbi Nechunya having lived so long. So Rabbi Nechunya's servants came and started to beat him. Solik Yosef Aresha Dedikla, and Rabbi Akiva scampered up a palm tree. Omar lay, so Rabbi Akiva from on top the tree called down Rabbi. He says to Rabbi Nechunya, he says, "In Nemar Keves, if the Torah in Bamidbar Perek Chav Ches, which deals with different sacrifices, and if the Torah says Keves, which is an expression, means a sheep, but it's also in the singular. The pasuk actually says Keves Echod." Loman emar echod. Once the Torah uses the word keves, that you shall bring a sheep offering, why does it have to say a single sheep by adding the word echod when the word keves already is in the singular? Omar lahu, Rabbi Nechunya, upon hearing this question, he says, the fellow up the tree, Tzubur Midrabonin, who he is a Torah scholar. It's very interesting to note here that in order to be classified as someone having Torah scholarship, a question of this nature is seemingly enough to at least create the image or the impression that someone is scholarly. A point to ponder, based on, of course, the Gemara as it's presented here at face value, sensitivity to language, sensitivity to the Torah and its careful use of words, and one exhibiting such sensitivity is of significance, and Rabbi Nechunya recognized Rabbi Akiva to be a Tzum Rabbanan by virtue of this question. So he said, listen, this the fellow up the tree isn't someone you should be beating on. Shavkuhu, leave him be. Omar le echod. So Rabbi Nechunya explained, the word echod in the Torah doesn't mean singular in terms of numbers, but rather miyuchod shebedro, means choicest. Keves echod means bring a choice, the choicest of the sheep, Shebedro, in your flock. Bring that as the sacrifice. So the question still remains of how, through what merit did he, Rabbi Nechunya, experience longevity? Amale, so Rabbi Nechunya answers, Miyomai lo kibalti matonas. I never received gifts. Velo amadati al midosai. And I didn't stand on principle. In other words, if if someone had wronged me, I wouldn't return bad for someone that was mitzayer me, that someone that caused me pain. I wouldn't return pain to them. Vatron b'mamoni ho'isi. Now that we saw before, I was also forgiving with regard to money. So we see here the element of flexibility, both on an emotional, personal level, and also in monetary matters. And he also wouldn't be a receiver. He wouldn't be a receiver of gifts. The Gemara here, you can see, we again have a bracketed section. This will take us down to the section of the wide lines. You can see the triangle appears with Rabbi Shimon ben Korcha being asked a question. But until then, we go over, like the note above, the Gemara, it's not, these brackets are not for skipping, but rather for analyzing his behavior. So, number one, lo kibalti matonas. That was the first point that he mentioned. Kiha de Rebbe Elazar. Now here we have a new marking. This trapezoid highlights the practice of Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Zera with regard to matters of gifts. So, kiha de Rebbe Elazar, kiha ve mishadri le matonis mi bei nesia. When Mishadri means sent to him, Matana's gifts would be sent him from the house of the Nasi. The Nasi was the leader of the Jewish people of the time. Lo havishokil, he would not accept the gifts. Kiave mezamnile, and when he would be invited, lo havozil, he wouldn't accept invitations for meals. Omar luhu, and he would, his response being, lo nicha luhu de'achye, is it not pleasant to you, is it not your will that I should live? Dechtiv sonei matonas yichye, one who has disdain for gifts, he will live. So that it was important for Rebbe Elazar, and we see that Rebbe Nechon Yagodol practiced this, not the non-acceptance of gifts. Rebbe Zera, ki have mishatri le b'mei siya, lo have shokil. And similarly with Rebbe Zera, when he was sent gifts from the Bei Nesia, he wouldn't accept. Ki have mizamni le ozil. However, in contrast to Rebbe Lezer, when he was invited to join them for a meal, he would go. Omar, and he explained, isyakuri to misyakri bi. They feel a sense of honor through my being there, through my presence. Now the pun there is certainly not intended, but nevertheless we have to reckon with this. There are times, and it's quite obvious, that when you have an important individual, when you're hosting an important individual, more than you are giving him, he, by his presence, C-E of course at the end, by his presence, he is giving you more. Just as a tangential point, but it's really a point of analysis that we'll just raise. For those of you who are familiar with Sugyus in Maseches Kiddushin, there is a phenomenon of someone giving a gift, and that in the Gemara there discusses a woman giving a gift to a man, and we know in general that in order to conduct a marriage, to create a marriage, a man has to give the woman an item. The Gemara there does discuss a situation of a woman giving an item to a man, and thereby she is married. And you'll ask, well, how can that be? Isn't the whole point of the Torah that the man has to give the woman, he has to benefit the woman? So the svara comes up there, the idea comes up that she is giving an item to a man of very great importance, and it gives her great pleasure for him to receive her gift, so that at the end of the day, the giver of the gift is actually receiving more than the receiver. So line of thinking, one would have to think about what we just learned here, that these gentlemen, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Zera, would not accept gifts. The question simply is that what would be if, in fact, the Bei Nasiya, which probably was not the case over here, but the Bei Nasiya would have felt honored by Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Zera receiving their gifts. We continue in the Gemara. Number 2, V'lo amadati al midosai. The Omar Rava, kol hamavir al midosav, Rabbi Nechunya said that he did not stand on principle. He didn't stand on ceremony. Quoting Rashi, that if he was wronged, so he wouldn't take advantage of an opportunity to equally in return. Rather, he was mavir. He overcame his midos. Otherwise, as it says, Rava says, "Kol amavir al midosav, mavirin mimenu kol pshav." Anyone who overcomes wrongs done to him, so in heaven they overlook his sins. Shenemar noisei avoin va'over al pesha. That's the pasuk, and it's explained. Lami noisei avon. Who merits being forgiven? Lami sha'over al pesha. For he who deals that way with others. He who is forgiving of others. This is called mida kenegan mida. This is something that when it's certainly around the time of year of the high holidays of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, this is a topic that's worthy of recognition. That if a person, of course it applies every day, but in anticipation of the Day of Atonement, if a person wants to develop a type of skula, I don't know how to translate that word, but a method of achieving atonement, so this is highly recommended, because we know that the Almighty deals with mankind in measure for measure. So if a person is one who is forgiving of others, even though by letter of the law he doesn't have to be, he was wronged, so too the Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though by letter of the law a person sinned, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu sees someone who is forgiving, I too, says the Almighty, will be forgiving of him. An amazing thought. Let's continue in the Gemara. Sho'al es Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha b'meh harachto yomim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha was presented with this question. And now here, similar to the story before with the Gozoi beating up on Rabbi Akiva, here he himself, Rabbi Yeshua himself, reacts with Rebbe Amalei, katzte b'chai, what? Are you upset with my long life? Is that why you're asking this question? Omar lo. So Rebbe said, he responded, Rebbe, toirohi velumor anitzorech. This is an issue of understanding Torah, and I have to learn about it. In other words, I see you experience longevity. I have to understand, through what merit did you do that, so as to understand how Torah has its impact on us. Omar Lei, Sir Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha answered, Miyomai lo nistakalti bidmus odom rosha. I never looked upon the form of a wicked man. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Osur lo odom listakel bitzelem demus odom rosha. It is forbidden to look upon the image or form of an evil man. Now, here there's room for analyzing is this simply a reference to looking directly at an evil man, or, as the words would indicate, it would seem to be looking even at the photograph, the picture, a sculpture of an evil man. From where do we know this? Shinemar, Elisha, Novi says to Yehoram, an evil king at that time, and we're talking about the time of the Book of Kings. So the prophet Elisha said, "Lulei pnei Yoshafet Melch Yuda, ani noisei im abid elecha v'im erecha." He says, "Now Yoshafet was a pious man," and so the Novi is saying, "If not for Elisha, I wouldn't look at you." if not for the king Yehoshaphat, the king of Judea, I wouldn't look at you. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Einov Kehois. In addition to the prohibition, Rabbi Elazar adds that looking upon a wicked man, one's eyesight becomes dimmed or weakened. Shenemar Vayi Ki Zoken Yitzhok Vatichenu Einov Mira'ois. And as Yitzhok aged, so his eyesight became weak. Mishum distakel be'esav harasha, because he looked upon, albeit his son, but his son was wicked. That is Esav. The Gemara asks a question. Is the fact that he was looking at Esav the cause of his weakened eyesight? V'omer Rabbi Yitzchok, li'olam al tikilas hedyot kala beinecha. At all times, a person should be aware that the curse of even a commoner should not be light to you, should not be light in your eyes. Shari Avimelech Kilel Asara. We know that Avimelech, who was for our purposes a hedyot, even he was the palace, he was the plishtim king, but he's considered a commoner for our purposes. He cursed Sarah. This was after the incident where Sarah had been taken by Avimelech for purposes of immorality, and she was spared miraculously from that, and Avimelech presented gifts to Avram on that occasion, and Avimelech had in effect cursed Sarah, v'niskayim bezara, and the curse was fulfilled in her seed. In other words, through Yitzchak, who was the son of Sarah. Shenemar, what does it say there in the Torah regarding that incident? He said, Hine hu loch ksus einayim. This is what Avimelech said to Sarah when he was giving the gifts. Al tikri ksus elo kesias einayim. Don't read it as ksus einayim, but rather read the word as a covering, kesias einayim. So the question is it when we're speaking about Yitzchak's weakened eyesight, it's not because he looked upon a wicked individual, that is Esav, but rather it's because of the curse of Avimelech. The Gemara says, Ha v'ha gorma le. Both were causative factors. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rava Omar. Mehocha. Rava presents a second source concerning the prohibition of looking at the image of an evil man. Se'es pene rosha loy toiv. Beholding the face of a wicked man is not good. Bishas ptiroso. Omar lay. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha was reaching the end of his life, Rebbe said to him, Rabbi Borcheni says to Rabbi Shur ben Korcha, give me a blessing. Omerle, Rabbi Shur ben Korcha responds with a very odd blessing. He says, Yehi ratzon shetagia lechatzi yomai. It should be the will of the Almighty that you reach half of my life. So the question is, Ulukulu lo, and to live the same long life, no. Omar lo, Rabbi Yeshua says back, Haboyim acharecha, your descendants, your children, behemo yiru, should they be herdsmen, should they be cowboys? In other words, Rebbe, he was the Nasi. He would be the Nasi. He was the leader of the Jewish people. Now, if he is going to live a very long life, what about his sons? All throughout Rebbe's life, so his sons aren't going to be leaders. And what are they supposed to do during that time? Are they just going to be cowboys, herdsmen? What about their honor? So Rabbi Shimon Korch is saying that it would be a blessing to you that you don't live such a long life as I have lived, rather live half of my years. That probably was significant in and of itself, but that would give an opportunity for your children and their descendants to also experience and enjoy honor. Avua bar ihi uminyomin bar ihi chad omar tesi li delo istakli bekusi. You have two sons of Ihi. One says, "I merit tesi li," means literally it's coming to me. I have merit delo istakli bekusi. I never looked upon a heathen. V'chad omar tesi li delo avdi shutfis bahadi kusi. I have merit that I never made a partnership with a heathen. Now, this issue is mentioned in other Gemaras, and that is that, in general, partnering with a heathen is forbidden, because in partnerships, in business matters, one might insist of his partner to swear to him such and such, whatever. And when a heathen takes an oath, he'll take an oath in the name of his idol. And it's also for a Jew to cause an idol worshipper to make mention of his idols. So that's why, in general, partnering with heathens is forbidden. So if that's the case, if there's a general prohibition, you'll ask, so what's his special merit? It's a general letter of the law. What's the big deal here? So Tosfos asks this, he answers this question, and he says, even in a case where they had made a deal ahead of time before partnering, that that even if you need to take an oath, I exempt you from all oaths that you would need to take. So then the issue of mentioning of the idol doesn't come up. But even so, he avoided partnering with heathens under all circumstances. Let's continue in the Gemara. Shalu Talmidov es Rebbe Zeira, Bameh Erachti Yomim, Omer Lahem, Miyomai Lo Hikpadati Besoch Besi. I never... was overly wrathful in my house. Now, the Mefarshim point out that a person is, based on the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, from Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara there says, Le'olam al yatil odom emo yaseira besoch beso. There, the Gemara speaks about in the second parak of Shabbos, things that a person is supposed to say before Shabbos, and it is said that he should not say it in too wrathful a fashion. However, the Gemara is medayik that a certain minimum amount of authority is necessary for a person to yield to demonstrate in his house. So what Rabbi Zera is saying, that he avoided being overly wrathful, which is something that is not easily achieved. On some occasion, that very often most people are confronted with occasions here and there to become literally angry. He says, I never became angry. And again, we're trying to make a distinction between demonstration of authority versus outright wrath. So he was never guilty. He never fell prey to that particular behavior. So he was never makbid besoch beis, v'lo tsa'adati b'fnei mi shegodol mimeni, and I never walked in front of someone that was greater than himself, v'lo yirharti b'vus hametunafos, and he never had Torah thoughts in dirty alleyways. And that's quite an accomplishment for a great Torah sage, who generally speaking is always has Torah on his mind, but he had such control over himself that even in that when he would reach a dirty place, which isn't appropriate for Torah study, he would be able to redirect his thoughts to something of a common mundane nature and not Torah matters. And I never walked even as short a distance as 4 amos without Torah study or without tefillin. Of course, on Shabbos he wouldn't wear tefillin, but he would be always engaged in Torah study. And I never slept in the base medrash. Not only did I not sleep a full-fledged, complete sleep, that shinas keva, an established sleep, a full-fledged, let's say, night's sleep. But not only that, but not even veloshinas, or not even dozing off, a momentary sleeping. And of course, great honor to the Beis Medrash. The Gemara later on, by the way, points out that for Talmidei Chachomim, they can do in a Beis Medrash all of their needs. apparently this is, even though there might be a license for some form of sleeping, he nevertheless, and this is what was his merit, that he merited long life. He didn't sleep even that which might be by letter of the law allowed. Velo, number six, velo sasti betakolas chaveri, and I never had joy when my friend experienced some type of stumbling or downfall. Velo korosi lechaveri becha chinoso, v'amilo becha nichoso, and I never called my friends by some name other than their formal name. Now there are two lishonos in the Gemara, and we take a look at Rashi. There's Rashi says becha chi noso im kinu shem lechavero lignai. If someone was called some type of disparaging nickname, so I never used that to address my friend. The army law becha nichoso. Rashi says afilu oisoi kinu shemesudur ubalo mi mishpachto shem doifi. Even some type of family name, some type of like empty, meaningless name that a person's family was referred to, I, says Rabbi Zera, would not refer to him by that name. So that's why we're using the explanation. I would always refer to my friend by either some type of proper title or by his formal name, not these nicknames or offhanded names or empty names. We continue now with the Mishnah, and the issue that's dealt with here, we look at our topic heading, the Nosei, Kavoid Beis HaKnesses, honor that we accord to a synagogue, Bevinyona, while it's standing, Bechorbono, even in its destruction, when it's knocked down, when it's a ruin. The Oid Omar Rabbi Yehuda, we continue with another teaching of Rabbi Yehuda. Beis HaKnesses Shechorav, a shul that is a ruin. Ein Maspidin B'Socho, we don't conduct eulogies in it. The Ein Mafshilin B'Socho Chavolim, and one does not extend or create ropes in a shul. Ropes by their very nature are long, and a shul, even though it's a ruin, it nevertheless is a large area. It would be suitable for this, but one is not to do that. And Rashi adds very importantly, and that this really applies to all kinds of activities, all kinds of malachas, one is not to do that. Just that the rope the rope making is made easier in a place like this, having this size. One is not to do it there. The ein porsin l'soichin mitzudos, one is not to spread out nets or traps in it. The ein shoitchin al gago peros, and one is not to spread out fruits for drying on its roof. The ein oisin oisa kapandaria, one is not to make it into a shortcut, to cut through it, because to cut through it, thereby shortening his distance. Shinemar v'hashimosi es mikdashechem. The word hashimosi has to do with something that is destroyed or in ruins, and we see from this pasuk kedushasan, because it says it refers to them as mikdashechem, their holiness, af kishen shomim, even when they are desolate. Olu bo asovim lo yitlosh vipnei ogmas nefesh, and if grasses start to grow from its walls, one is not to remove them. This by people seeing grasses growing from the walls, this creates a sense of despondency and sadness. Rashi says, "Mitnei ogmas nefesh manichin bo yasovim." We leave the grasses growing, kidei shetei ogmas nefesh loreim, so that it causes despondency on the part of the those that see it. Vishi as kiru es yemei binyonoi, and they will be reminded of the days of its construction, of its structure, of its standing. The es shoyu regilis asev shom, and remember those that used to assemble there. Yevakshu rachamim shiachsu lekadmuso. And that will thereby motivate people to pray for it to be restored to its former glory. we can now continue with the Gemara. The bottom line: Tana Rabbanan Bate Knesius Ein Noegin Bem Kalus Rosh. With regard to synagogues, one is to avoid Kalus Rosh behavior. Now, the term Kalus Rosh is a term that, in my humble estimation, is very difficult to translate. Literally, it's Kalus means light, lightheadedness. However, the term Kalus Rosh is a subjective expression. It depends what you are dealing with or under what circumstances the discussion takes place, and then we can define things as Kalus Rosh. So as here we present the phrase Kalus Rosh, and the Gemara itself defines what would constitute Kalus Rosh in the context of a synagogue. So what is that? Ein Oichun Bohen, Ein Shoysen Bohen. One is not to eat in them, and one is not to drink in a shul, in a synagogue. The Ein Neoisin Bohen, Rashi at the top says, Ein Neoisin, Ein Vein Miskashtin Lesecha, Vein Metailin Sham. The Gemara itself continues by saying Metailin Sham. Miskashtin has to do with a kishut, literally as an ornament, and it can refer to jewelry and cosmetics. What it most likely means is one does not get himself ready there, adorn himself, which would include cosmetics and combing one's hair and whatever else would fall under this category of miskashtin. One is not to do that in a shul. And one does not stroll around in a shul. The ein one is not to enter a shul as a means of protection from the elements, not to go into the shul because it provides shade from the sun, nor as a place of protection from the rain. And nor is the a eulogy to be conducted over a yochid. Now that we'll have to explain as we go on in the Gemara. But literally, it would mean a common private individual is not to be eulogized in a synagogue. Avol, Koren Bohen, Vishoinaben. However, what we do in a synagogue, we read the written Torah, the Tanakh. Koren is Kriya's reference to reading Psukim. Shoinaben, we learn Torah Sheval Peh, learn the oral Torah in them. Umaspidin Bohen Hespid Shel Rabim. And as far as eulogizing is concerned, a hesped shel rabim is acceptable. Rashi at the top says hesped shel rabim shel talmid chacham shemes shetzrichim l'sasef l'aspido. If a Torah scholar dies and it's necessary for the masses to gather and eulogize him, ubeis haknesses roy l'kach l'fishu bayis gadol. And in order to accommodate the masses, so a shul is fit for that. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai, B'Yishuvan. When is this? This is when it's standing. Avo B'chur Bonon. But when it's in ruins, Manichin Oison V'Oilin Bohen Asovim. We leave them be, and grasses shall grow in them on the walls. V'lo Yitloish V'pnei Ogmas Nefesh. And don't detach them so as to cause despondency. Rabbuna's comment seems to be disconnected a bit from whatever was said beforehand. The Gemara asks, Asovim man dekar shmaihu, regarding the grasses that Rabbuna focuses on, who made any mention of them in the first place, so as to motivate Rabbi Yehuda to say something about grasses? So the Rashi explains, third line from the top, man dekar shmayu. It's an Aramaic expression in Hebrew. It would be ni dokar dekar. The Dalit and the Zion interchange, so you would have the word zohar. Who made mention of them? Hecho shaminon letanakamo. Where did the Tanakamo say anything? Lasois bohen dovor Shemonim Milalos Asovim. Where did the Tanakhama make mention of something that would prevent the growing of grasses that Rabbi Yehuda feels he has to comment that we don't prevent the growing of grasses? So the Gemara explains, Chisure Mechasra V'Hochi Kotoni. The Tanaic source was left brief, abbreviated, but it should be understood as follows. Umechabden oison, umarbitzen oison. As far as synagogues are concerned, the Tanakhama says we sweep them, marbitzen oison, we water them down, if it's necessary to keep dust from rising, so we splatter water on their floors. Kedei shelo yalu bohen asovim. And all of this, the sweeping and the caring for it, was to prevent grasses from growing. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amosai. When do we make efforts to prevent grasses from growing? B'yishuvon, while they are standing. Aval b'chur bonon, manichen oison lalois. When they are in ruins, we leave them to grow. Olu bohen asavim lo yitlosh. They ogmas nefesh. And if grasses in fact do grow, you are to leave them and do not detach them so as to engender despondency. Omar Rav Asi, bote kniyasi shebebovel al tnai hein asuyin. The synagogues in Bovel, and when he says Bovel, this would then be in contrast with Eretz Yisrael. So the synagogues of Bovel are built conditionally. What does that mean? Rashi says, Almenas shishtamshu bohen. So that even though we mentioned a number of restrictions regarding synagogues, so that is... those restrictions are not necessarily binding with regard to the synagogues of Bovel. The Afal Pikein Ein Noeg Ibrahim Kalis Rosh. Now notice here, once again, like we said before, the word Kalis, the term Kalis Rosh appears. Now what does it mean though? You just said in a moment ago, you said that you can, they were built on condition that you can do other things. You can eat, you can drink in them. So now what's being restricted? Umayinihu, what is the kalis rosh that is being restricted? Cheshbonus. Cheshbonus means calculations, all kinds of, let's say, financial calculations that is not to be done, even in the Bote Knesius of Bovel. Omer of Asi, Beis HaKnesses, Shemachashim B'Cheshbonus, a shul, a synagogue in which people sit there with their Wall Street Journal and their accounting records, Malinin Boi Es Hames. Now, here we translate, it says they are required to leave corpses in them unburied. Malinim, word lino means like leave them overnight. So the Gemara asks, Malinin Salka Daitach? Lo sagi the lav hochi, shuls in which cheshbonos take place. Is that the way we're to understand things, that you're supposed to leave corpses in there unburied? Elo, that's not the meaning, but rather l'soif shialinu boi meis mitzvah. Rather, shuls that are treated offhandedly by virtue of cheshbonos being made in those shuls, people sitting there with their financial reports and making all kinds of calculations concerning those matters, what will come to be is that people will end up dying in town, people that don't have relatives to bury them. Rashi says, "Lesoshenubo meisei mitzvah shiamusa buir meisim shein lehem kovrim." A community whose shuls are disparaged, and I use the word disparaged, but the Gemara defines that as a place that people make their calculations, their finances, they arrange their finances in shul. A town like that will have people dying in them that don't have anyone to tend to them. Before we continue to the next topic, the next section of Gemara, I feel it's important to note that we presented the Gemara in a very superficial fashion, based primarily on what one will see in the Rashi. However, it's very worthwhile looking also into the Tosfos commentary, both the top Tosfos Bote Knesius and the next Tosfos Vafa Pikein, to see some further qualifications of what we have already discussed. We continue in the Gemara. V'ein mi'usin bahen, Omar Rova, Chachomim v'talmidehem. We said, by the way, in the source above, that one is not to use a shul for adorning himself, for getting himself ready. As we mentioned before, in the Rashi and Miskashtin, Rava says that Chachomim and their students, the Torah scholars and the Torah students, Mutorin, they are allowed. The Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, my Bei Rabbonan, the term used for Bote Medrash was Bei Rabbonan, the house of the Rabbonan. Beis of the Rabbonan, it means it's their houses. So just like in one's house, he does all kinds of personal, tends to all kinds of personal needs. They are allowed to do that in a synagogue. But once again, this is special, reserved for people that spend all day in the Beis Medrash studying Torah. One is not allowed to enter the synagogue to serve as protection from the elements. Ravino and Rav Ada were standing outdoors at presenting a question to Rava. Also Zilcha Demitra, a torrent of rain came in force. Aili Lebei Knishon, they went into the synagogue. Amri, and they said, "Hi, the Ayalinon Lebei Knishta, that which we entered the synagogue, Lav Mishum Mitra, it's not because we needed protection from the rain, we didn't want to get wet, Elo Mishum De Shmaitza Boi Tzilusa Kiyoyma De Istana, but rather because Torah learning, which we were engaged in, requires clarity of thought like Yoyma De Istana." There's a note on the side that says this is a day when the north wind blows and the north wind clears the skies and everything is very bright. So we couldn't stand and ponder Torah thoughts in the rain. And in order to achieve clarity of thought, so we entered the shul, but not for simple physical comfort per se. Omale Rav Acha Brei de Rava, the Rav Ashi, I Itzterich Lei Leinish Lemikri Gavra Mi Bei Kenishta Mai. What happens if someone needs to summon someone from within a shul? How should he conduct himself? Up till now, we've been saying that a person is not allowed to enter the shul for personal needs, for personal comfort. What about to enter the shul for the purpose of calling someone out of the shul? Omar Le, so Rav Ashi answers, Itzubim Rabbonin Hu Leimo Hichasa. If he's a Torah scholar, so he should say over some, he should go into the shul and learn some Torah topic. V'i Tonahu, if he's someone who is familiar with Mishnayos, he's not a Tzubim Rabbonin, he's, I'll say, of lesser achievement, so Leimo Masnisin, so let him say over a Mishnah. V'i Korahu, if he's someone who is knowledgeable of psukim, so lema psuka, so let him go into the shul and say a pasuk and then summon the person in question. V'i lo, if he is not that either, lema leilianuka, then he should say to a child, and the presence of children in shul is very common because that's where they generally congregated for their education. So he should say to a child over there in the shul, Emo li psukecha, say me your pasuk or your psukim that you are learning. And then go and summon the individual. Inami, alternatively, nishi purta venekum. Upon entering the shul, remember we're talking about someone entered for some purpose of calling someone out, so go in, delay, pause there, nishipur, don't just go in and go out, but go in, pause, and then leave. This many people will practice under circumstances like that. They'll go into the shul, and they'll sit down for a moment, and then get up and go out, thereby giving license for their entrance for some purpose other than prayer. maspidin bohen hespid shorabim. Hechi domi hespedo de rabim. What is meant by that? Literally a public eulogy. Machvi Rav Sheshes, Rav Chisda pointed out kagon hespedo dekoi be Rav Sheshes. Would be the type of hespid. Rashi's example is im yomus odom echad be Rav Sheshes. If someone from Rav Sheshes's household or family would die, that would be the kind of hesped that could be conducted in a synagogue. Apparently, a recognition of the significance of the people of his household. Machvi Rav Sheshes kun hespedo dekoi be Rav Chisda. And Rav Sheshes said equally, like a hesped, that would characterize the household of Rav Chisda. The Marsha on this expresses his hesitancy with Rashi's pshat, because it's kind of odd that each one, Rav Chisda and Rav Sheshes, are expressing their honor of each other through the death of someone in their respective families. So the Marsha says that an example of a hesped shel rabim would be like a hesped, a eulogy that is taking place in the house of Rav Chisda for someone else who happened to die. Meaning that if someone died and Rav Chisda would be getting up to eulogize, so the masses would come because Rav Chisda was the one who was eulogizing, and likewise a eulogy that would be conducted by Rav Sheshes in honor of someone else who happened to die. And with this pshat, so then it makes a lot of sense that Rav Chisda is acknowledging the honor of Rav Sheshes, as he would be the maspid, the one who was conducting the eulogy, and out of honor to Rav Sheshes, the masses would assemble, and such a eulogy could take place in a synagogue. And the Marsha bases. He strengthens his pshat by virtue of the story that follows, where this sentiment is echoed. Raphram aspido lekalsei bebei knishta. Raphram eulogized his daughter-in-law in a synagogue. Omar, and he explained, he justified it. Mishum yakro didi udamisa osu kulei alma. Because of honor that people would accord me and the person who died, so the masses would come, and hence it could be done in a shul. Rabbi Zera safte lehu merabonin bebei knishta. Rabbi Zera eulogized a Torah scholar in a shul. Omar imishum yakro didi imishum yakro demisa asu kulei alma. Just like we saw with Raphram, the same remark that the masses will come because of either because of honor people will want to show me, or to show the departed one. Before we continue, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading on the side. Roman numerals 1 and 2 appear. Hevdel ben Reish Lakish Rav Nachman Yitzchok b'tyachasutam l'shoyne halachas. We'll see a contrast between Reish Lakish, who was a scholar from Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Nachman Yitzchok, who was a scholar from Bavel, in how they regarded someone who was a student of Mishnayos, who studied Mishnayos. And when we speak about Mishnayos in this context, we're speaking about people who were familiar with the Mishnayos text without the thorough analysis that they undergo through the study of Gemara. Rav Reish Lakish safte lehutzubrim rabbona deshchiach be'aro di Yisrael. Reish Lakish eulogized a tzum rabbona, a Torah scholar, we'll say, who was a common visitor to Eretz Yisrael, to have a toni hilchisa bechof dalid shurta, who would teach Mishnayos in front of 24 rows of students. So he taught Mishnayis. Mishnayis, we'll say Mishnayis text, to 24 rows of students. Omar and Reish Lakish, in eulogizing him, said, "Vai," the Lashon of expression of woe, "Vai chosra arad Yisrael gavra rabba," woe, the land of Israel has lost a great man. There was a person who had been familiar with all kinds of, I like to call them, Tanaic literature. Hilchasa is, Rashi uses the term, Tani Hilchasa Shoya Shoyna Mishnayas Talmidim. He was someone who taught Mishnayas to students, as well as Sifra. This is the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra. Sifri is the Medrash on Sefer Bamidbar and Dvorim. The Toisefta, which we would associate with other Tanaic literature like Brisis. Veshachav, and this man died. Asu v'amu leila Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok lispidei mor. The Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok was sought out to eulogize him. Omar, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok reacted, Hechi nispidei. How should I eulogize? What do I have to say? Hey, Tsona, the Moli, Sifri, the Chaser, regarding this basket of books that is now missing. Rashi on this says, "B'may aspidenu, hechi aspidi, may aspenu, hey, Tsona, Moli, Sifri, eno elo kesal shimlu svarim." He's no different than a basket that's filled with books. The ein maven ma besocha. He doesn't understand what's in them. Af sheina lochus for shimish tamei chomim lumoid shivinu tamei mishnah. So too, someone who's shone halacha, someone who studies mishnayis texts, and doesn't literally serve tamei chomim, is a reference to the not just the mere service of tamei chomim. It means they're explaining them to you, that you should understand the Tam Mishnah. Palm Shidvei Mishnah Sersim says that on occasions Mishnahs appear to be contradictory. But Tzarch Letartza could go in Hocha B'mayaskin, go in Halmoni, Rebbe Plonihi. The way to resolve difficult Mishnahs is through the analysis and explaining, qualifying under what circumstances they're taught or who is the author behind it, so that you have two different opinions behind Mishnahs, that making them non-contradictory, but rather two different opinions. Could go in Chisuri Mechasro, or at times the Mishnayas are deliberately abbreviated. Eino yodea mashona. So someone who hasn't been mishamish tamidi chachamim, who hasn't served scholars that reveal the meanings of the Mishnayas, they don't know what, he doesn't know what he is saying. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok felt that such a person, and as they say, in all due respect, he didn't have what to say. He didn't have what to say of a complimentary, in a eulogizing sense, concerning him. The Gemara, upon seeing these two approaches, that of Reish Lakish versus that of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, says, Tochazi, come and see my bain, Takifi Darad Yisrael. See the difference between the supposed, the tough ones of Eretz Yisrael. And Reish Lakish represents those, L'chaside de Bovel, to the those considered the pious of Bovel. And what the sentiment that the Gemara is trying to convey here is that Reish Lakish, Rashi gives much more background than we're going to give right now, but Reish Lakish was known as a I don't know if the word tough is an appropriate expression, but he was an individual who was not known for his social cordiality, if you will. With, for lack of better expression, but bearing in mind, of course, we have to always be honorable here, but he was known as a stalwart, tough type individual, and he was from Eretz Yisrael, and yet look at how understanding and how kindly he looked upon this individual who was knowledgeable, who taught Mishnayos, but clearly from the context he was not someone who was a thorough scholar, and yet Rav Shlokish dealt with him so kindly, in contrast to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, who's considered a very pious individual, but he was from Bavel, and how seemingly intolerant or say short on the compliments with regard to the same type individual. There are other Gemaras in the Shas You find Masech Sanhedrin, a description of the difference between the scholars of Eretz Yisrael being considered pleasant and smooth like fine oil, versus the scholars of Bavel that are considered the Mechablim. You can look at that there in Maseches Sanhedrin. And bear in mind that we are learning the Babylonian Talmud, so you have to at least respect the honesty and openness of the Talmud Bavli, of the Babylonian Talmud, to recognize the let's say the more pleasant aspect of the scholars of the land of Israel. The Gemara continues, Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah says in Maseches Ovis, Ude ishtamish betaga cholof, that one who uses the crown of Torah passes from the world. Toni Reish Lakish. There's another girsa instead of Toni that says Omar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish taught, or he said, Zeh hamishtamish b'mi shishena halachas. Again, this is interesting how this is Reish Lakish, consistent with what he said just before, is that one should be careful not to receive the service of one who is shone halachas, one who learns Mishnayos. The Omar Ula Lishtamish Inish Beman de Toni Arbo'o, the Lo Lishtamish Beman de Masni Arbo'o. Let one accept the service of one who has learned four. Now, four is a reference to the four Sidorim, the four out of six Sidorim sections of the Shas. When we speak of the four, sometimes it's called the four orders, or the six orders. The four are a reference to those that have more of more common daily application, and include Moyadim Seder Moyed, the section that deals with holidays, Noshim that deals with matters of matrimony and related topics, and Nezikin, sometimes referred to by the term Yeshuos, tort laws, and Kachim. Even though Kachim is focused on the Beis Hamikdash, we have a tradition that in the absence of the Beis Hamikdash, the daily study of sacrificial matters or recitation of passages dealing with sacrifices serves as a type of substitution in the meantime until the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. To the exclusion of the two other orders, the first and last, the Zroim, as far as Bavel is concerned, Zroim contains laws of a land-based Eretz Israel, land of Israel nature, which didn't have daily practical application outside of Israel in the Talmud Bavli, and Taros, which deals with laws of purity and avoiding defilement, which nowadays doesn't have such relevance. So in the absence of sacrifices and trumas, laws of tumas and taras have less relevance. So there is reference from time to time to the four orders. So Ula says one can benefit from one who personally learns four orders. Below lishtam shman de masni arba'a. Now there are quite a few different angles and ways of approaching this. You can look in different commentaries. You can look at the Marsha, but we're going to be using just one of several commentaries here. And this is he's making a distinction between one who personally learns versus one who teaches. Masni Abba is one who teaches the four orders. Other suggestions are one who analyzes, one who, as we saw before, the difference between learning the superficial text versus the analysis thereof. Kiha de Reish Lakish have also beurcha, a story featuring Reish Lakish was on the road. Mata urkema de Maya, he reached a pond, a pool of water, and he needed to cross it. Also, who gavra arkevei akasvei v'kam averle? Someone came along and picked up Reish Lakish and carried him on his shoulders, so as to prevent Reish Lakish from having to wade through the water. Amarle, so Reish Lakish asked the man, "Koris, are you someone that studied psukim?" Amarle, "Karina, yes." "Tonis, have you studied Mishnayos?" He says, Tonina Arbo Sidre Mishnah. I learned the four orders of the Mishnayos. Omar Le, Reish Lakish says, Pasalta lo harbo turi v'tanis bar lokish akaspoch. You have hewn out four mountains, a reference to the study of the Mishnayos. And it's also, we mentioned before, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, you find Reish Lakish as being described as someone who himself, through the power of his Torah learning, describes someone who had dealings with mountains, without quoting the Gemara verbatim. And there the Gemara paralleled and contrasted, say, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Meir, that Okar Horim V'Tochanan Bo Zeh Bo Zeh is more or less the language from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So Reish Lakish recognizes the study of Torah and the study of the Mishnayos like one who has hewn out mountains, and hence elevating this individual to a high plateau. And why should someone of your stature be carrying Reish Lakish, Bar Lakish on his shoulders? Shadi Bar Lakish B'maya, throw him into the water, he says about himself. Amalei. So this man says, "Nicholi da ashmeino lemar." It's my pleasure. It's something that's an honor to me to serve you. Well, Reish Lakish was kind of besides himself. What's he to do now? Ihachi. So he says, "If so, gemor mini ha milsa." So then, learn from me the following. And the explanation to this is that Reish Lakish refused to accept services, as we've seen already above. We saw the Mishnah from Ovis, Ishtamish Petag Cholov. However, if he can make it such that the person is a student of his, even if it's over one matter, the Gemara says elsewhere in the Shas that where one is explained one Torah matter, that makes the explainer like your Rav. So that If I can explain or say to you a point of halachas, then you'll be like a student of mine. And when it comes to students, so there it is acceptable to receive services from students. So Reish Lakish says, then listen to me, I want to teach you something. Gemor mini homil, so learn from me the following. The Omer Rabbi Zera, the truth be told is that Rabbi Zera lived after Reish Lakish, but it's a halacha whose fame is associated with the name Rabbi Zera, but the halacha existed before Rabbi Zera. Benois Yisrael, hein hichmira atzmon, the daughters of Israel, means Jewish women, have accepted a stringency upon themselves. Shafilu royos tipas dam kechardol. This has to do with women and the laws concerning dinei nida, the female menstrual cycle, and the laws that govern that. Women have accepted upon themselves a stringency that even if they see a drop of blood, kechardol, the size of a mustard seed, which is a type of it's a powdery substance, a very small drop, Yoshvisulov Shiva Nikiyim, they observe 7 clean days. That would mean that after seeing that drop, they would then make sure that 7 clean days, where they would be checking themselves to making sure they have no more blood sightings, and only then become mutaros, become allowed, and we'll talk about allowed to their husbands, because otherwise, upon seeing this minor drop of blood, they were viewing that as a formal flow. And there's much more detail to this. Rashi does elaborate on the topic. Rashi points out that from the Torah standpoint, the need for observing 7 clean days, from the Torah standpoint, is only if a woman sees 3 consecutive days where there's a blood sighting outside her formal nida days. This is a bit complicated for us to get into right now, but needless to say, for our purposes, the halacha Rabbi Zera made famous is that even without that, without 3 consecutive days, just a one-time spotting of blood would generate this stringency that the Jewish women accepted upon themselves. And that's what Reish Lakish taught this man, this chumrah that the Benois Yisrael accepted on themselves. Tana Debei Elio, Kol Hashena Halachis, he who learns Halachis, and in the context of this Gemara, it might very well be a reference to he who studies Mishnayos, Muftoch Loishu Ben Olam Haba, he is guaranteed to have a portion in the world to come. Shenema Halichos Olam Loi, Al Tikri Halichos, don't read it as that, like the paths or the ways, but rather Elo Halachis. So Halachis, if a person is engaged in the study of Halachis, so Olam Lo, he will merit a portion in the world to come. Before concluding, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.